June 20th, 2018, Police Facility Council Committee. Now it's working.
Thanks, Judy.
You're welcome.
So why don't we just go around the table real quick so the tape knows who's here? Alan Dadden with Public Works Engineering.
Jerry Moore with the Police Department.
Steve Valshaw, Police Department.
Ben Bales, Police Department.
Steve McQuaid, City Councilor.
Ricardo Besserell with ACPM.
All right, Ricardo.
Kristen Rutherford, Urban Development.
Matt Ossick, Ward 5.
All right, thanks for being here. We'll keep it quick tonight since we're a relatively short crew. I actually considered calling off the meeting when I got Counselor Kazer's email this afternoon, but I thought a meeting with counselors to kind of give them the briefing over the next few weeks. So this will be your guys' chance to hear the same thing they're going to hear.
In other words, you don't have to meet with us.
Right. And you know most...
That's okay, we wanted dinner, so we're playing.
You know most of the story, but we can give you an update on where things have gone. There's a lot has happened since last month, so maybe if we can advance the slides.
More batteries or...
There we go. So touched on this briefly last time, but since mid-May, I think we've had about 9 neighborhood associations plus City Watch and just been kind of given general status on the project. And the police will talk about that a little bit more in detail when we get to project outreach. But overall, successful and lots of good discussion there with neighborhood association folks. We talked about where we are with costs last time, and so we've been working hard with the design team and the contractor on cost revisions and trying to get our construction cost estimate to where it's within the available funds that we have, and we've made a lot of good progress there. So Ricardo's going to review that for you. That work's ongoing. There's still some changes that we're evaluating to see if we can get all the rest of the way under our budget. On the site, it's been pretty quiet, but we are starting with a little bit of sewer work out there this week. So the office building to the north, Mill Creek Plaza, drains into sewer that goes through our site. We need to abandon that for this project, and so we're going to reconnect them to a line just to the north. So we'll be out there with one of our contractors of record starting on that tomorrow. They'll go right from that to early in July, helping us with our archaeological investigation. So we'll be able to get a feel for if we've got issues related to that. So we're notifying the tribes and SHPO and letting them know that we're going to see what we've got out there. So keep your fingers crossed that we don't find anything.
So what do you do? Take some different spots and dig?
So what we agreed with them, we worked with them on what the right plan is, and what we're doing is we're digging a trench that's 60 feet long down to the native, because there's a lot of fill out there, so right down to the native layer. And then the archaeologists will be able to direct them, okay, I need you to dig a little bit right there along that trench. And it's going to be in an area where we're most likely to be disturbing down to that level anyway. So the kind of the high risk area of where we'd be into the native.
And we think the native is probably 8 feet down, so it'll be significant trench.
Yeah. It kind of varies on the site, but that's the deepest that it is. So,
is that the only place you dig that deep?
For this purpose, yeah.
So that we'll have results on that in July and see where we stand. We've also been working on our permit package for Planning Commission, so we're targeting the second meeting in July to get all of our stuff in front of the Planning Commission for site plan review and the design review of the building itself. So that process will be underway.
What's the design?
No, but we know enough about what it looks like to show that we can meet the planning design guidelines. So they have some elevations of the building and the site plan, things that we've showed here before with a little bit more detail added. Enough for the Planning Commission to say, yeah, you meet the zoning requirements.
Part of that process where you don't want to fully bake the cake and then ask, hey, do you like it?
Right. And then, so the other thing touched on last month, we talked about a request to council coming in July for an additional $2,085,000 in urban renewal funds to cover some of the public elements of the project, so the community room, the public art, the public plaza. And so we've been working on that since then. Went to Downtown Advisory Board in May, just after Kristen left, and they unanimously...
You waited till she left?
That's right.
Let's go get her.
And they unanimously approved, or I guess recommended, that council approve that funding request. So as mentioned, we have counselor briefings set up with three counselors on Friday, and we'll pick up anybody else who, we've made the offer to anybody, try to catch the mayor too when he's back in town, and just kind of share with them the same history that you all have seen with where we started with costs, where we're getting to, and the reason for the additional funding request, so that they're prepared when it gets there in July. As far as the Downtown Advisory Board goes, they had some questions, and they were concerned about costs, but I think at the end of the day, they understood that, you know, the market is what it is. We're doing the best that we can to deliver what we promised, and that's why we're in a tough position.
And the additional allocation's not going to have any big impact on other projects that we have in the queue.
Right, there was some question about that relative to the streetscape project. So once, I think that leaves some concerns there, because there's a lot of excitement about the streetscape.
Do you anticipate any public outcry with that?
I think that some of the usual suspects could, just because it's more money going into the project.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something from Carol, because she is a big advocate of the streetscape project and investing in the historic downtown area. So, you know, I can see her saying something, but the reality is it's not going to delay streetscape or mean that we have less money to put into it.
Okay.
Or any of our other downtown projects.
Yep. So, yes.
Are we going to think, go ahead now.
No, any project you plan, no, it is less money per potential project.
Well, true, but our maximum indebtedness for that within the rural area is about $375 million, and we're at about $85 million, so we have a great deal of spending capacity. There will probably be a desire at some point to close it down before we ever hit that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't see it having any negative impact.
Are we going to be prepared with answers if there's, you know, if they're jumping all over it and you got people questioning it, and be ready for whatever, you'll have the message ready, not re-reacting?
Yeah, in fact, we just met with Steve Powers and executives on that. That's my concern too, is that when this goes to council, the statesman's going to pick it up, and so what's the message? We'll talk about that a little bit here, but I think part of it is just...
But just make sure we got that message and we're ready to, if it comes up, we're ready instead of...
trying to react.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So all of that is another reason that we are limiting the urban renewal contribution to certain elements of the project that are more directly in the urban renewal area.
I think this council, when I say this council as opposed to the one when I came on four years ago, they specifically said don't spend urban renewal money in the building. So you still have that floating around. I don't think this council will do that, but the other guys were piping up.
Well, and you know, the other message that we need to make sure, there's already been drastic hits to this project.
Yeah.
Talking over 10,000 square feet reduction, and half a parking deck, and I mean, there's...
That's right.
Which is the message you got to get.
You know that, I mean, this, we're not just keeping the thing the way we'd like to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking, this building's taking a hit already.
So we're not doing this to fund our wish list.
Right.
Be ready for that.
And the alternative...
It's going to come.
The alternative without the money is pretty drastic.
Right. So what's coming up besides the work I already mentioned? We have a big planning session with our contractor, J.E. Dunn, at the end of this month, kind of laying everything out from here to the end and figuring out exactly what packages of work we can get done between site work and when the real building work begins early in 2019. So just trying to make sure that they have kind of stay steadily busy once they get started. we're in the design development phase, so like, I think about that as working towards 60% completion of design. So we've got to check in with department staff coming up in early July, and then working towards completing that phase in early September. In the meantime, while we're doing that, we're starting outreach to really work hard with J.E. Dunn to engage the local subcontracting environment. And one of our messages when concerns come in about the budget, or even if they don't, is because of this economy that we're in, we really need that local participation to help us meet our budget. Having the folks right here in town that have the expertise that can do the work, we're going to push that really hard, that we need them. We need their bids, and we want them to participate. So the first event will be July 18th, and we're working with Nick Williams at the Chamber to set that up. They're going to actually host it, and it's going to be focused on the earthwork piece, because that's the start. But there'll be more general outreach to the overall community, and then working to pick up some of our other key partners early on, like mechanical, electrical, and plumbing later this year. So a big push to start, or to continue engaging with the local subcontracting community to make sure that our projects on their radar. And the other thing that we're hearing is with the school stuff coming, we want to be out in front of that. Because if we're competing with all that work, then
it'll become
some of the
a capacity
locals,
issue for yeah, some
that's
of
right.
the locals.
They may have to pick
and they had a couple teed up right away. I mean,
yeah, they have some stuff planned yeah. for next year. So we're in a good position, but we can't let it slide. And then we're gonna try to tour some more facilities to look at some detailed design stuff in the middle of August as well. So just touching on the, oops, man, this thing is touching. Touching on the budget, this is our pie chart. So it shows the all-in, everything that's committed to the project, including the offsite. And gosh dang, that wheel is killing me. Gotta keep my finger off it. So we've spent just about $7.5 million through middle of June, and so our amount spent is slowly creeping up, still a long ways to go, still holding our owner's contingency of about $4.5 million, and the offsite work is shown in a separate color too. We'll begin design work on that offsite stuff here fairly soon. We're expecting the scope from the designer on that any day now.
And that dollar amount of the $74 million, that includes everything. So that includes the urban development funds, that includes the bond premium, the interest, everything, offsite.
Yeah, so this just shows the same thing in spreadsheet form. And these two things are things that we'll be sharing with the other counselors and kind of bringing them along as we've gone through the different design phases, which shows the original bond funding, the premium and interest, a little bit of public works funds that's in the project for storm and sewer work, the urban renewal funds that's been requested, not approved yet, and then the off-site work. And
what is off-site? What do you mean?
So that's the traffic improvements along Division
gotcha.
And Liberty Street.
Okay.
Sorry, I should just say that. It's yeah. off-site scope. We'll make that change. The other thing just that wanted to show is really all this extra money is going for construction. Some of the bond premium went for, and you remember we discussed back when we first talked about it, additional insurance to make sure that we have the coverage we need for a project like this. We are seeing increased furniture costs, so we used a little bit of it to shore that part of the budget up. And then we increased our contingency just a bit because of the overall increase in the project. So that's where some additional soft cost money came, but everything else except for design for the traffic improvements is going into construction. So our percentage of construction to soft costs has stayed constant. So from there, I'll turn it over to Ricardo to talk a little bit about the work that we've done on the construction estimate to try to get.
I don't know what you think about this, Matt. Could you go back to that slide just a second? Just, I mean, when you get it up to 74,
right,
by putting that stuff in there, this, I think you're setting off another red beep, beep, beep. What do you mean 74? It was 60, whatever it was. 61, 8,
yeah.
or whatever it was.
I was just waiting to see what the details of where the costs have gone up are. So
I mean, I get it all. It's all reasonable. But again, for the folks that like to poke at us,
I know.
It's another definitely see what the $4 million is. It's steep street improvements that aren't with the building, you know. And probably what we talked about earlier, development, so, you know. And public works, that's just stuff that would get done anyway.
Yeah, it's just, it's essentially helping out the project.
Okay.
For stuff that would come from the bond.
Would it behoove us to take the four, I know the 4.3 has to do with facility, but it has to do with a lot of things. Would it be better to list that separately? I mean, this is a $70 million project and the 4.3 is for, I just throw that out. I mean, I'm not trying to play games with it, but it's not going to the building. It's not going to.
Because if you take that out, you can explain bond premium and interest.
Exactly.
That's a fair thing. That's still part of the whole bond package. So now you're getting down to 60, what is it, 60? 67, right? Something like that. 5, 6, yeah, 67 million. You know, and then we're down to urban development, which we're going to be dealing with anyway. So I think that, man, that's a 74 is a.
Sure.
So what
do you think, man?
What is the off-site scope being paid for with? What funding is that? Like, everything else is a type of funding, except off-site scope is a thing. What is that one being paid with?
Probably should say urban development funds.
That's urban development too?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was part of the project from the beginning, though.
Yeah, no, I could. So. Well, what you're going to want to be able to explain is, are we comparing apples to apples? So when we started out and created the bond and gave an estimate, were we including the off-site scope in that estimate?
Yeah, we were.
If we were, then we want to keep it in there and compare apples to apples. If I can understand what you're saying, like if it's UD, if it's urban development funds, it's not going to the building, but if that was already, that was part of what our estimate was, we don't want to switch it up and That's going to get caught there and say, you're
it wasn't.
It wasn't part of the bond.
We had an additional part.
It was, you just said it was. I don't know.
It was part of the total estimate, but
it was
the
outside
bond was never intended to pay for the road improvements. That was always going to be.
That's the answer to make.
Yeah, you got to make that clear then.
Okay. I divide it up.
Right.
Okay. Here's the bond stuff. And then here's
right,
the
exactly.
other stuff,
right.
And why and where. This is streets, and this is, you know, urban development. We'll explain, but.
And I hadn't dove into this because I was expecting. I'm assuming you have other slides with more detail or something, but yeah, you're going to want to be. I would want to see personally the comparison if this has gone up that much, or if it hasn't gone up that much, or if you've cut scope or whatever. Make that comparison of we were building a 40-year building at 100 and I forget the
15,
number,
yeah.
158,000 square feet. Now we're building a 30-year building at 115 or whatever it is, 1,000 square feet, and the cost is basically the same because of the, you know, the demand for all of this and such. You're going to want to make that case that yeah. The reason that this has happened is because of the change, but you want to show what the two things are, what changed, you know,
gotcha.
As opposed to just the big number of.
Yeah.
Even here, if it's 70, even if you just count the bond amount, premium, and interest, that's more than people were hoping it was going to be, right? They were hoping it was going to be the bond amount, mm-hmm. and now you're saying it's more, and rather than just compare those two things, show the whole, the project estimate before and after square footage yeah. of things that were cut. So we talked about this a little bit last time, where you had some comparisons. I think you used lockers as an example or whatever, but things that were safety related was what I think we had talked about, was showing the things that were safety related that were kind of downgraded because we have to fit into this new economic environment.
Sure. So not just the dollars, but the change in.
Well, I mean, the more you can tell, the more transparent you are, the less flat you're going to take.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'd funnel it down and start with the dollars, kind of the before and the now, mm-hmm. and then break in the difference of now and what makes that up.
So more of a before and after type mm-hmm. comparison.
Because if you walked in to the councilors that have been in this committee and flashed that site, every hand in the room would go up and go, what the hell's going on? How'd you get to 74? Well, it was 61.8.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, that's helpful, because that's one of the things I've been worried about, is that 74 number looking a lot more than 62. Okay, so Ricardo's going to talk a little bit more about some of the points you were making, Counselor Osick, in terms of where the changes have been in the budget and what we're looking at there, so take it away, Ricardo.
So this is kind of an eye chart, apologize for that, but...
I just thought I'd get up and walk to the front like Counselor Anderson did.
So just in general, you guys probably recall the last time we were talking to you, we were talking about the fact that we had received two estimates back, one from our estimator through the architect, architectural cost consultants, and then one from J.E. Dunn, and they were about $10 million apart. J.E. Dunn's estimate was about $12 million over budget, and architectural cost consultants' budget was about $10 million, or about $2 million over budget, so that was the $10 million that we were apart. So what we did is we set out, went through a reconciliation process, brought the numbers closer together, and basically J.E. Dunn's number went down by several million dollars through just some items, like just forensically going through it and some misassumptions. You know, they had made an assumption that the design team was able to say, no, that's not, we didn't need, the concrete didn't need to be that thick. It's not fully designed yet, so a lot of what they're doing is making assumptions. So we reconciled that. That's an estimate reconciliation process, and that brought the number down significantly. You can see there, well, maybe you can't see, but in the SD estimate, R2 number there.
We're out of the gray, or...
Let me just point to it.
Right there.
Yeah, right here.
See in the yellow?
Yeah, so this number right here, this is the number that we reconciled to, so both estimators agreed that this is, if we left the project where it's at, that's what it's going to cost. Well, we don't have that amount of money from a construction standpoint, so we still targeted that we still need to get down to the target budget number of 49.5. So what this estimate is, each one of these headers over here is, if you actually unclicked all of these, which Alan has done some of them over here, each one has got several items that we're tracking and pricing and discussing on a weekly basis underneath those items. So there are items such as, we track them in potential savings, accepted, under review, rejected, and then comments. So like the chief mentioned, that we had talked about the last time, approximately half of the parking deck that we could sacrifice for now in the design to bring the cost down, knowing that that will come at the end of the project when we're actually building that, so maybe we will have saved enough in contingencies to be able to afford to put that parking deck back in. That would be a high priority item, I guess I would say, that we'd be looking at trying to fund at some point in time. But we moved that item to the accepted column along with several other items to get us to the point that what we've accepted is almost $6 million worth of additional cuts to the project. We've tried to maintain not taking cuts that would really hurt, like we couldn't really say we're going to build a police station and really not put bulletproof glass in, or we're going to build a police station and not put security cameras in. Even though those would be items that would be really drastic that could save money, we really haven't done that type of stuff. It's largely some easier to swallow, digest type of items. So cutting that $6 million, by the time you take the contractor markups out, off of the savings, off the raw costs, that's almost another million. So it almost gets us to $7 million of additional savings.
That's under the accept.
That's under the accepted, yep, yep. Then you can see in the, so that $7 million and accepted, by the time you add back in things that are not included in J.E. Dunn's initial estimate, such as the green energy and the art requirements, that brings us to $50,226,000 compared to the target of 49.5. So we're still about $700,000 high, so we're still working on it. And that's where the under review and the rejected column come into play. That under review column right now totals almost $2 million, but it's a little bit misleading because one of the items in the under review column is like $1 million item if there would be a savings if we constructed the parking deck out of some other material and cut it in half versus the cut in half version that we're already capturing that's maybe almost $1 million
in precast concrete as opposed to post-tension concrete. So you have to accept one or the other. You can't accept both for a total of $2 million of savings. So if we accepted that one that's noted at about $1 million in here, we'd have to then unaccept another one. So it's just kind of trading the money. They were both close to about $1 million savings. The precast concrete was a little bit more. So Councilor Osick, to your point, I know that last time that we talked about this, and we're going to get to a slide here in just a second, but we showed you an example of lockers, right? So what we talked about is, beyond doing this type of stuff that we're doing right here, if we were to not have the bond premium, we didn't have the bond interest earnings, those types of things, and we just had to deal with the initial bond amount minus all of those things, what would we have to do? And we showed examples of, we'd have to cut programs out of the police station, programs that don't exist in the police station today, like the crime lab that's currently off-site. It's not ideal, but you could still retain building a good police station, a good new police station, and still keep the good crime lab off-site. We all agree that they're better and a key part of the bond sale to put all this back underneath one roof. Same thing with evidence and some of those types of things. We talked about that. We talked about cutting growth out of the building. You know, if you just said, well, let's build it for today, let's not build it for the capacity of where the police department's going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And then we talked about the quality example. And the quality example, the only one we gave was the lockers. And I think your criticism was fair, which is that's probably some, you know, I showed a rusty locker and I showed a great locker, and that's not going to really be meaningful to people. And so we do have another slide that shows some other options. But what we kind of said is that what that would look like is we wouldn't just pick one. It wouldn't be like pick quality, pick growth, or pick departments moved offsite. It'd be some combination of all those to really take the deep cut. Alan and I have struggled to kind of present to you what would the quality, the deeper quality cuts look like, because to a large degree, we've already taken the real ones. The real, as Chief Moore was saying, we've taken the tough, that made some a lot of the tough decisions already that could be viewed as not absolutely necessary in all cases on some of those items. So to take a deeper cut would look like, we highlighted a few of them here in bold, would be like removing the metal panel from the garage facade. And so our garage structure is not just there to park cars on and just leave it wide open, but there's also security issues associated with the parking structure. So could we really take off all of the visual security of the parking garage and just leave it with the physical security, like just put up chain link fencing? Well, A, the planning department wouldn't allow that, but B, that doesn't really provide a real solution that we could have our police partners here saying, yeah, that's one that we could live with if we had to, like half of the parking deck. It's not an easy thing, but it's something that they could live with. Same thing with use of metal panels at $50 a square foot. We've already taken half of that, so we've already taken half of the cut here to find a more economical metal panel, and we've got the architect on board with that idea. Just simply cutting the metal panels out and building like a concrete, you know, tilt-up box or something like that didn't really seem real, so it was hard to put it down on the list. We already took about 80% of the interior storefront glass out of the walls, so like this is considered interior storefront in here. So picture cutting like four of the five glass panels that are there and filling the rest in with drywall. We've already cut 80%, so to really cut 100%, that would be the type of cut that we'd have to make to continue to take quality cuts out of the building. It didn't feel right. Then you've got offices on the interior of the building with no visible, you know, transparency into the open office environment.
So how, you've already cut storefront by how much?
I've already cut the interior storefront by 80%.
Okay. So yeah. What in that? So you have potential savings at 372, mm-hmm. is that the 80%?
No, what we captured is we captured 297 of it, and we rejected the other 20%, which is the 74. So we said of the 372.
Is that 100%? That's what I'm confused about.
The 372 is an 80% reduction, of which we captured 80% of that.
Instead of taking out four, you're taking out 80% of four.
80% of four, so three
so
and a half. Three and a half. Yeah. So it seemed pretty draconian to go any deeper than that. Alan, do you want to just kind of, what we did do is, if you move on to the next one, we can go back to this one.
If I can get my mouse to work, here we go.
Over here.
Oh, sorry. Let me get back to the slideshow.
So what we did take a look at is without drastically just going after solely building security or something like that, we said, okay, we've already got a pretty economical mechanical system, but if we did one step lower, which is pretty much the bottom of a mechanical system that you could put in and still be code compliant, it'd be called an electric reheat VAV system. It'd save about $300,000. The problem is that, according to our engineers, you're just trading dollars, today's dollars for tomorrow's dollars.
Sure.
Because
last, right?
That electric VAV system might actually last as long, but it's more expensive from an operational cost standpoint.
Yeah, it's not efficient.
Energy efficiency, you might be looking at 5-6 years from now regretting that decision, because now operational dollars, you can't keep up with trying to afford to put that system in. So it didn't make sense. But that would be the type of thing that we have to do if we said all that matters is first cost. Same thing with bullet-resistant glass and window film. That's probably about a $500,000 item if we just said, you know what, we're going to have no ballistic protection at all in the building at all. No window film, no ballistic panels, no ballistic mm-hmm. protection at all in the lobbyway. It'd be about $500,000 savings. Card access, so if we went with locking doors and dealt with, you know, the potential lost keys but didn't have electronic card access, and so that affects security. If we put in pathway but didn't buy cameras, if we did like a vinyl coated chain link fence with privacy slats in it, if we just went with a galvanized chain link fence, you know, those types of things, you could probably save another $250,000 or so. Taking another crack at interior finishes reduction, get a nice looking carpet but it doesn't last as long, that's going to bite you eventually at some point in time, and you're going to regret that decision. But again, first cost would say, yeah, there's money to be saved if we went with a cheaper carpet or cheaper floor covering. And then building durability, you know, on day one, you could have nice looking walls, but have no gun rails, no wainscot along the hallways, and eventually that facility is going to look pretty beat up. But we could deal with that and just say that that's part of part of what we can afford, so you could make those kind of cuts and probably save another couple $100,000. So those are you're not going to save $5-6 million by looking at additional quality cuts, and that's why I say you have to go to multiple spots. But you can see that if you added this stuff up here, you could probably find a way. It'd be hard, but you could probably find a way to save about $1.5 million in quality, and then try to, you know, do the crime lab stuff and the evidence and cutting some of the, it'd be pretty messy, pretty draconian to the overall project, but that's kind of what it would look like. Any questions?
No, that's very good examples for the quality. I appreciate that. It's much, much more understandable as to why, and the explanation went really well. So being able to explain the operational cost versus the upfront cost, mm-hmm. I think that makes a very good case.
Okay.
So
okay.
Those are very helpful. And
okay, good.
I'm sorry, I didn't see all your slides ahead, but did you have the same kind of thing? I don't remember what it looked like last time for the program and growth and that kind of thing. Is it somewhat similar?
It is, in the sense that, yeah, we took the floor plan in the last version for the growth, and we showed you the areas on each floor that we would cut for growth and what that square footage would look like, and what, you know, did a mathematical calculation to show what that would save if you cut the growth out of the building. And then the same thing with the, I remember it was the crime lab evidence, and the community room was the other one, which now we've found a way to fund. But those two departments, we highlighted those on the floor plan in a separate set of slides and said, if we kept evidence, not cut it completely, but kept it equitable to what currently exists downstairs in evidence, left the rest off-site, here's the amount of square footage, and here's what the calculation would look like to actually save that money.
And so the one, and I think the quality, this description of the quality and what you just talked about with the program, I think those are very good cases. I think when you're going to get the debate maybe from some of the people who are concerned more about cost is the growth, right? So they're going to say, well, this thing will last for 20 years, maybe we have ability to do something in 20 years, or, you know, like there's going to be that, we're going to need to be able to talk to that, to speak to that when that comes up, that, you know, I mean, yeah, we did go out with the bond and say we wanted a certain amount of years. We talked about, actually, I think we talked about when we went to reduction, we went from 40 years to 30 years, and so this would be, you know, even further, but what does that mean in terms of, would this be still like 10 times better than the current police station? And, you know, people are going to make those kind of general statements unless we provide more facts of what the impacts are. So I don't know if you have another slide here, if it was from the one you showed us before, but
yeah, we didn't bring any more for this time, but it's okay. I think what you're getting at is while we show growth not just as this appurtenage that's on the side of the building that you could just hack off and say, there you go, there's the growth. Instead, planning it wise, it's spread out throughout every single department. So you think about, let's say there was a guarantee 10 years from now that there was going to be more money to add the growth back into the new police station. From a logistics standpoint, what the drawing looks like, if we pulled that up, if I had it here, is it would look like cutting growth out of the building like a piece of Swiss cheese. You'd have holes all over every department within the building, and realistically you can't really build it that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the point that needs to be probably explained is what you're getting at, as opposed to having somebody arrive at their own conclusion and say, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? Cut the growth then.
Yeah, and because when we debated the bond issue, one of the things we heard, people had just enough information to be dangerous, right? Where they could say things like, well, you're already planning for the future, your shifts are going to share offices, or some of your folks are going to share offices in the future in 30 years. Is it something we should be, you know, what couldn't we plan for that sooner and just have more people share offices here or share spaces here, or, you know, convert conference rooms to spaces? Like, I think that was one of the things that potentially in the bigger building, at some point the conference room might become offices. And things like that. People know just enough from the materials to say, well, can't we just build in more of that sharing? And so I think that's one of the things, just remembering what was asked before and planning for that to come up again, you know, so that we can say, you know, we've already predicted out, because a lot of the argument was up front, well, you're going to have all this empty space. What's the point of having all this empty space for 20 years, you know, and showing that that's not really what it is. It's not that there's a bunch of empty, wasted space for 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
I think that, because I think this is really good explanation of quality, and you get a really good explanation of the program cuts, but being able to explain that last piece of the square footage, I think, I don't remember your presentation last time well enough to remember, but just keeping that in mind when you're presenting to the public.
Okay.
And we have so many great examples of that in Salem, working in the Capitol or a lot of the state buildings, and you're trying to fit technology into buildings that were built that many years ago, and so if you're not planning ahead for those things, it's a nightmare, and it's so much different than a house, you know.
Sure.
And the demands are, and most people's frame of reference is my house. Yeah. So it's like, mm-hmm. I just add an addition on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That kind of stuff.
Yes. And you can't do that when you have bulletproof walls. Yeah. You know,
there you go. Doesn't everybody have that in their house?
I really appreciate this. This is much better detail, and it really made it visual. And
it's visual in a good way.
Yeah, okay. Understandable to me.
You go, okay, why would we get rid of the, whatever you call it? You know, all the stuff for the walls, save the walls. Why would you do that when you look at it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
We've all been in buildings that don't have that stuff, and they get beat up pretty fast, right? I mean, you've seen what that looks like.
Different coats of paint.
Schools, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially all the gear that everybody's carrying, bags. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks for your feedback. It's been really helpful, I think. So, we'll incorporate this when we talk with the counselors, and then we'll be ready with it if we need it when we go to council.
I don't know if it would be helpful, but if you wanted to, before you come to council, to share the slides again, I don't know if we need another meeting. I know you're going to meet with counselors that aren't here, but I would love to see the slides or something beforehand, just if you have any thoughts if that was something you had time for in your prep.
Okay. Yeah, I think our next meeting would be the week before, so we'll be able to touch base one more time.
Before the actual
council
presentation.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So, ready to move on to outreach. Kind of stole some of this. Sorry, Steve.
No. So our the building buzz keeps going out. We've got good feedback from that. We've gotten a few questions from community members, and follow up to some of the stuff that we've talked about, and some opinions of things and that kind of stuff. So we'll continue to do that outreach. We're looking at ways to outreach, as we talked about earlier, to local subcontractors to let them know that we really want this to be a local project and to do that. We'll also look at some ways to outreach to community partners. So if there are businesses or entities that want to sponsor, like the community room, or want to sponsor the fitness room, or want to sponsor those. So those are all things that we might be able to do to offset some of these costs as well. But we still have to have the rooms designed, so people know they're not going to sponsor something that they don't have any idea of what they're getting into. So we'll continue to work on those plans and look for an opportunity. At the neighborhood meetings, we heard from people of, I would love to sponsor a tree, or I would love to sponsor some other things. So we at City Watch, a local attorney said, if you find space in the community room for a chess club, I will donate 40 chess boards with timers and stuff like that, because chessboard
is $40,000.
Chess
club really got him interested in continuing education and stuff, and so we'll look for more opportunities like that, because those are things we don't have the ability to host right now. I mean, we have no place in City Hall to have a chess club on a weeknight. There's just no availability, so we'll look for other options like that, and to have the community tell us. I mean, that's part of what we went to the neighbor associations for, is tell us things that you could see coming to the police department for, other than making a police report or something like that that we can't do right now. And so it's good to hear those kinds of suggestions, and we'll continue to look for input from those kinds of sources.
One of the things, I don't know about you, I've gotten, get this in a city of 165,000, getting a few emails, but I've had enough emails, it's sort of like, usually you don't get any emails on something. When is it going to be built? what's going on? Hell, we passed the thing, you got all this money, you know, kind of a deal. What's going on? How long does it take to build a damn building, kind of a deal? And I didn't think too much of it till I went to a ball game Monday night with my brother, the smart guy. And he asked, almost verbatim, that question, what the heck's going on with that thing, you know? You know, we passed the thing, you know, a year ago, and nothing's just an empty lot still. And I went, God, it takes a little longer than a few months. Wasn't it designed when we voted for it? He said, no, because nobody knew if it was, A, going to be built or passed. I mean, no, they started once it passed, you know. But he was a smart guy, and it sort of went along with what I've been getting. And I don't know if maybe that's something at some point you want to discuss or put in this web and social media stuff.
To make your friend feel better, I ask the same questions.
Well, I understand why you'd be asking.
That was part of how we tried to lead off the neighborhood meetings was, it's been a year since this thing passed. Here's everything that's gone, you know, at a high level. Here's everything that's gone on since then.
But I'd be aware of it. I think it's out there. They're going, what the hell's going on here?
And I think you made a really great point. Is one of the things that people don't understand, I think the council took a while to understand, was the little drawings and things that we were being presented with. That wasn't a design. We saw a fake square floor plan, but that wasn't design. That was just, here's some sketches that I'm going to do real quick. Alan maybe put them together like that afternoon before the meeting or whatever. Yeah. But the design was an actual process that took time. And that's a really good point, because everybody asks, they don't ask quite the same pointed to me, but they usually ask something about, you know, the timing and when's it going to be done. And everyone, I'd say, well, we're in design. Well, what were those drawings?
Yeah.
That's what I
would say. I said, no, this is like how the building works, you know. Yeah. Make sure it stands up. This is not four little boxes in a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I think you said you've been to about half the neighborhood associations?
So we've been to 9 so far, and we've made the offer, and some, you know, we're getting into summer months, and some kind of will not meet for the summer, and some will.
10 bucks. We hit 10 so far, total. 9 in May, 1 in June.
All right.
And I've seen it, some of mine, and I don't recall, like, one of the things you said, that people sponsor things, that's a really good thing to suggest to people. I mean, I can tell you at 2 of mine, there's no way that people are sponsoring, but there is some of those people, you know, if you gave them the option of, you know, a tree isn't that expensive a thing, you sponsor it, you could have your family's name on it or whatever, I don't know how the sponsorship works for that kind of thing, you might get actually some more people as opposed to waiting for them to come to you.
Yeah.
Because when I heard that, I was like, oh, that would be awesome. I'd love to have a tree for the police station.
Well, that's what I've got. These guys have to design it so I know if I've got a forest or
you got to lost half the parking deck.
There you go.
Only a few trees, the bidding will go up.
You'd be like, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Auction them off. Yeah. You've got friends of trees here. They might start a bidding war.
I got to figure out how many I can put out there, but so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so our next meeting is scheduled for the 18th, so that'll give us a chance to check in before council.
So you just came here to listen to us BS?
That was it. Okay. What to eat? Yeah.
You could have got one.
I'd like to go back.
It was so good.
Councilor Ossoff, I'm glad to hear that the slides helped you, and it might be nice to get your view of the slides before we go to the full council, because if those are explaining issues that you hear or think, we should probably.
Yeah, you got to make sure, because we're pretty smart guys, so you know.
Well, we're going to get one chance at this, like we've done everything else. So it'd be nice to, if it answered your questions, maybe it'd answer some of the others. So we should take advantage of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't envy you guys.
It's going to be great when it's done.
That's right.
Party.
That's right. Very good. Well, thanks again for coming tonight.
Thank you. Great seeing you.
You too.
Mate. She's in Australia.
What just happened?
Thanks for coming.
I was just going to make sure you're
Yeah, I don't care.